Hey, listener, Underdog Fantasy is the easiest place to play fantasy sports. Also, the fastest growing fantasy app in the industry. You can play Pick'em, pick whether your favorite players will have a higher or lower total in each stat for this week's games for a chance to win big. You can actually win up to 100 times your money in a single night. That's right. I didn't say 10. I didn't say 20. Up to 100 times your money. Pick between 2 and 5 players, build a pick'em entry. My favorite feature, you can make rivals picks. Pit 2 players against each other. Wembanyama versus Nikola Jokic. Tim Hardaway Jr. versus Norm Powell. Kawhi Leonard versus Steph Curry. Who knows? Maybe Grayson Allen versus Pat Connaughton. You get where I'm going with that. You can do it all with Underdog Fantasy. Make sure you sign up today with the promo code DING. That's D-I-N-G. And get your first deposit doubled up to $100 as well as an instant pick'em special. Visit underdogfantasy.com or find them in the app store. And don't forget to register with our promo code DING, D-I-N-G, to get your first deposit doubled up to $100 as well as an instant pick'em special. Must be 18 or older and present in a state where Underdog Fantasy operates. Terms apply. Concerned with your play? Call 1-800-522-4700 or visit www.ncpgambling.org.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
It's only a kick, a jump, a block, it's only a serve, it's only a tackle, a run, it's only for the fans. After all, it's only pressure. You got this. Adidas.
Trey, this is a big week. Big week. I'm doing the draft for our Top Chef recap show.
Oh. I thought you were doing the draft.
Yeah, I was thinking NBA draft when it first comes to mind.
Yeah, I got to talk to Adam about that. Once we do this Top Chef draft on packyourknives.com, maybe Adam will be a listener and be like, hey, you know what, Maze? You're great at my job as the commissioner relaying the picks between me and Kevin Arnovitz. Mm-hmm. He might just say, you guys just run this whole thing.
Yeah, and you might get brought in to pick chefs for team locker rooms. You never know.
I can do that. Chef Adjapong for the Knicks, because he's a big Knicks fan. Let's get Eric. Waz, our guy Waz, went to the Eric Adjapong Crate and Barrel event with Eric, Chef Eric.
The Pander and, King himself.
The Pander King has found himself in a new room. Love that.
So we've got a new Substack with Pack Your Knives, our flagship Top Chef podcast. We've been doing for several years, and it's sports. It's sports. It's basically we watch Top Chef and treat it like it's the NBA. So Kevin and I have done recap pods every week for about 6 years. And this year, we're now doing more content around the show, including exclusive interviews, data, like maps that you can see. Like, hey, if I'm in a city, if I'm in Houston, Trey, you're going to Houston soon, right?
I am.
Are there Top Chef restaurants in Houston? Well, we're going to be able to help all of our paid subscribers have access to a Top Chef map as part of the buffet of the menu of things that you can get by upgrading to become a paid subscriber, which is $50 for an annual subscription. And if you sign up now on packyourknives.com as a free sign up, you get, you know, updates, random posts here and there, but we really want you to not only listen to the pod, but become a paid subscriber on Substack. And the way you do that is go to packyourknives.com and go sign up for a paid subscription for Pack Your Knives. And I got to say, I'm working in the war room right now, trying to figure out my big board. Mm-hmm. And Trey, you love playing fantasy, all this stuff. that's the hardest thing is like draft night, like right mm-hmm. before draft night, you got to do your homework, right? You got to,
yeah, like you lose your job.
Yeah. You're going to lose your job. You're going to draft.
Unfortunately, Tom will not lose his job in this situation because it's Tom. Tom's the owner. Tom's the GM. Tom's the coach. Right. Much like you with your adult league team. You know, yeah. like it's, he has only one man to answer, by the way.
Oh, yeah. We got to get an update on that. We got to get an update on that. But what we do is, we watch religiously this Top Chef show. We got Bon Appetit Award last year for best podcast of the food scene. What nominated among like a few other podcasts for the top food podcast of 2023. Crazy. We were in People Magazine, Trey, for our podcast, which is super rando.
I saw that and I was like, wow, big time.
So we got to keep this momentum going. And so go subscribe right now, packyourknives.com, and jump on. The season has started. It's one episode in. You can catch up real quick and listen to our pods.
Tom, I want to ask, in advance of this draft, is there a clear number one pick to you? Or are we talking about a less clear dynamic? Are we looking at like maybe down to the last minute, it could be Paolo Banchero. It could be Jabari Smith Jr. Like, yeah. What's the deal here? It could be Chet Holmgren.
I don't think we have an Anthony Bennett case here. I think it's a real standout that I am eyeing with the number one pick, and I'm not going to tell Shams about it. I'm going to keep this real tight so that we don't mess up with the odds on the board. And I can't reveal because I want to reveal it on the show. So packyourknives.com, go subscribe and you will find out who is going to go number one in our Top Chef draft.
All right. And then also there is exciting developments in the Count the Dings world. There is the rebirthed merch store. It is
a reopening,
woo-hoo! A renaissance. You can get your BOMM, Pack Your Knives, Count the Dings, Cinephobe shirts, hoodies, hats, all in the store. You can get limited edition Carl Weathers. RIP to the Count of Monte Fisto merch. You can get the Amin logo jump shot if you've wanted. Four broken fingers on the follow through. You can go to @countthedings on Twitter or Instagram and find the link to the merch store. It's very exciting, and we will be doing limited edition merch every month or so. There will be new merch that you can come check out. So go to @countthedings on Twitter and Instagram and find it there.
Wait. So we're doing it. We're selling these shirts. Okay. I got the mock-ups of this Amin El-Hassan, the shot heard around the world. And I thought this was just available. We're releasing it publicly.
Yes.
Yes. Yes.
Wow.
We're spreading the gospel.
I really want what I seen. So
yeah.
Trey's going to be wearing an Amin jump shot shirt as he wins the championship. The key to success.
I would love that, man, with some speedy delivery stuff, huh? It'd be great. Got some bad news about that, though. I will not be coaching in the championship game.
Oh, because you're traveling?
I'm traveling the day of.
So this is a Mike Brown Warrior situation where your replacement might go on a 24-0 run.
Yeah, yeah.
Who is your Luke Walton?
My Luke Walton is Corey Underwood. Charles to see what played in the NBA D League, played with the Sixers, with Iverson and Andre Iguodala. He's also a player of mine, but I trust him because he coaches the Queens team for Nike versus New York versus New York.
Player so, of mine.
Yeah.
That's such a great line. I love that.
Yeah. So, but very respected and knows how to handle the coaching. He actually can coach. I don't have to worry about like just throwing somebody pushing them into a job they've never done. You know what I mean? But yeah, man, we were up convincingly in the game that the Western Conference Finals, if you want to say it, or whatever group it was. We were up 30, and then my team got bored and let them back in the game. They got the lead down to 6, and then we end up winning by like 9 or something like that.
A dub is a dub.
Dub is a dub. We made it to the chip. You know, I know moral victories. I want them to finish the job, like Kobe said. I got my full squad. I got your guy, LD Williams, making his debut in the championship, which sounds like a cheat. He's been rostered all year, but he's been coaching in the G League.
And LD can fly, bro.
And it sounds like God. I'm cheating. It sounds like I'm cheating, but he's been rostered the entire year. So yeah, to make his
debut. He's redshirting.
Oh, my God.
That's why you always got to read the fine print.
Read the fine print. I told him, look, win by 30. That's it. That's all I want. Win by 30.
That's it.
Okay.
We play OHAS, the speaker company. Shout out to my man Dan Salamito and their squad. I respect them. They've earned their way to the championship.
You respect them so much. Beat them by 30.
Speaking of 30. Steph Curry didn't play 30 minutes last night. We're going to talk about the Warriors. He played 29 minutes and 51 seconds, not even 30 minutes. And it's a big controversy in Warriors land, Warriors world, light years world. This is a huge story that we're going to talk about coming up here in a little bit. And the Chris Paul, talk about LD Williams, a demon deacon. Chris Paul got into it with a TikToker who happens to be an NBA referee. We'll update you on that story. And we're also going to talk about March Madness and kind of as we grow older and become hashtag washed. And we're sitting on the end of the bench with like little twirlies going around our heads and feeling we can't really do the things we used to do. That is happening with March Madness. And now that we got jobs and kids and stuff, we've got to figure out how do we watch March Madness these days. We're going to talk about that on Patreon, our relationship with college hoops these days. We're also going to, this is a very serious matter, and I don't want to make light of this issue, but on the Today Show this morning, there was a reporter who airballed a shot so bad live on air that I think we need to take this matter and refer it over to our associates at the law offices of Amin El Hassan, who specialize in viral decontextualization, which is a condition that afflicts many upstanding individuals and former basketball players. So we're going to talk about that later in the program. And then, go to the merch store and packyourknives.com.
Hey, listener, Zach Harper here from Cinephobe. Yeah, that podcast. It's a good one. Ascertain. Telling you right now, Prize Picks, that's the way to go. Prize Picks is America's number one fantasy sports app with over 3 million members. The easiest and most exciting way to play DFS is just you against the numbers. You pick more than or less than on 2 to 6 player stat projections and watch the winnings roll in. It's demon time. That's right. You're asking, what does that mean? It's demon time. I'll tell you. Demons and Goblins, the newest and most exciting way to play at Prize Picks. Squares marked with red demons or green goblins get you different payouts. You can now win up to 100 times your money with as little as 4 correct picks. That's insane. That's insane of Prize Picks to do. You know what else is insane? They offer injury insurance so that your entries stay in play, even if one of your players gets injured. For football and basketball games, if you have a player who exits the game in the first half and does not return in the second, that player projection won't count against you, and the rest of your entry stays alive. Prize Picks is the only DFS platform with an injury insurance policy. And by the way, they now offer Apple Pay for quick and easy deposits into your account. This football, basketball, any season you're playing. Me personally, I'm taking more than points on Joel Embiid all the time. I'm taking more than assists on Tyrese Halliburton. I'm taking less than points on Jordan Poole. Those seem to be the easy money makers for you. And you're probably wondering, Zach, how do I get involved in this? You go to prizepicks.com/ding and use code DING, D-I-N-G, for a first deposit match up to $100. That's prizepicks.com/ding. Use code DING, D-I-N-G, for a first deposit match up to $100. Prize Picks, pick more, pick less. It's that easy.
The Warriors are going to miss the playoffs here, it looks like. Or at least if things continue going down this path, Stephen Curry, Draymond Green, Jordan Poole is watching very closely this situation and just, I mean, the whole idea this season was, all right, we got Jordan Poole out of here. We're starting fresh. We got Chris Paul. Pajemski's a real deal rookie for us. Jonathan Kuminga is surging. And yet this team is on the fringe, on the verge of falling out of the top 10 in the Western Conference, thanks to a close loss to the Minnesota Timberwolves last night. And afterwards, Steve Kerr was asked about why he put Stephen Curry on the bench for like 9 minutes between the end of the third and the beginning of the fourth as they lost their lead.
We can't expect to just ride Steph game after game after game. You know, these last few weeks have been really tough on him. We've put the burden of this franchise on his shoulders for 15 years. We can't expect him to play 35 minutes. We got 5 games in 7 days on this road trip. So if you want to say that him playing 30 minutes instead of 32 is a difference in the win and the loss, I totally disagree with that. And we're trying to win the game. We're trying to keep him fresh too.
So Trey, he checked out with 4:07 left in the third quarter. They had a 3-point lead at that time. And then he waited until the 6:54 mark to check back into the game. And Steph was not totally on board with this. Mm-hmm. He was asked about it after the game. There was an opportunity for him to check back in around the 8-minute mark when they gave up the lead. And he said he was a little surprised by that and he wanted to play. And of course, you tell an NBA player, like you ask him after a game, hey, did you want to go back in the game? Yeah, they're going to say yes. No NBA player is going to say, actually, I liked sitting on the bench. They're always going to say yes. So maybe we're making a mountain out of a molehill here. But I would say holding Steph to 30 minutes in general, I get it because they want to make a playoff run and go preserve his body for a championship run. Mm-hmm. But if they preserve him so much that they miss the playoffs, that concern goes way out the window. It don't matter because the Houston Rockets are coming. They've won like 7 games straight and they're 2 games back once you consider that the Golden State Warriors have the tiebreaker. How do you feel about Steve Kerr's decision and Steph Curry's response?
Oh my God. What are you doing, Steve Kerr? You're 3 games behind the Lakers. Houston's on your ass. They don't want 8th straight. You don't have room to save Steph Curry. There's going to be no games left for you to save him. Like, at the end of the day, you got to play him. You have to play him. First of all, competitive nature. And then secondly, what are you saving him for? What are you saving him for at the end of the day? Like, for real. Like, what are you saving? If y'all don't make it to the playoffs, what are you really saving him for? Because if y'all lose games, you're going to make it even harder. And he's going to have to play even more minutes to even, you know, make up for these. That was a winnable ball game. You know?
Now, yep. And to defend the Warriors a little bit, if your other team makes 21 threes, you're probably going to lose that game. It tied a season high for the Minnesota Timberwolves in an era where everyone's making threes. 21 threes is hard to overcome, but they could have. They could have overcome it.
Yeah. Definitely, with their best player on the floor. I don't know what he was trying to do. I mean, the last time I seen him voluntarily sit him 30 minutes and play him 3 quarters was when they was dominating. They're not dominating right now. They're trying to figure this thing out. The Warriors season has been a very roller coaster season. I'm not a fan, but I understand from my outside looking in. Mays could attest to being a fan on that side. But looking at it from an overall perspective, it's like, what are you doing, Steve? Like, what are you doing? This has been a weird season in itself. You got the extension. Now you're not playing your star. Like,
Real quick on the extension, people are saying, can we give it back?
You know, yeah, that's funny.
Can we hit Apple Z on that extension and just get it up out of here real quick? This Warriors season, so last year they couldn't win on the road, right? That was the whole story with the Warriors. Oh, they terrible on the road. This year they can't win at home. They have forgotten how to do that.
Yeah.
They are exceptional, especially after that JJ Redick LeBron clip went viral last week of no lead is safe when Steph Curry's around. It's actually been the opposite this year.
Yeah.
The Warriors have choked up incredible leads.
12-point lead last night. Yep.
But that's just one game. Like, that's indicative of the whole year. Like, they, if they're up 10 with 5 minutes left, that is not safe. Because they have given that away multiple times. They've gone to overtime and lost. They have a lot of talent, but they also have the Draymond Green situation. They also have the Andrew Wiggins situation. They also have what's going on with Klay Thompson. It's a lot of talent, but Kerr has had trouble managing minutes all year long. You'll hear the light year guys talking about, like, not playing Moody enough, or they were reluctant to play Kuminga a lot, and then they started playing him a lot, and it's been a mess the whole year. And the main thing is, if there's no Curry, they can't do it.
Yeah.
And he sprained his ankle a couple weeks ago. He went out and they immediately lost to the Spurs without Wemby, which was terrifying. And then he's back and they don't play him enough and they give up a 12-point lead.
So they are embarking on a 5-game, 7-8-day trip here, which is what Steve Kerr is saying is, look, we got to protect him. And Anthony Slater wrote in his Athletic piece, he was like, hey, last game, he came out at the same exact time, but they brought him back early in the fourth quarter, and he finished with 35 minutes in the game. They're deciding to protect him in ahead of this road trip here. So that's what they're thinking, is like, hey, if we want to make the playoffs, we got to have healthy Steph. And the best way we can have healthy Steph is we don't run him into the ground in the first game of a brutal, brutal road trip. That's what they're saying. I think this points to the fact that the rotation just isn't strong enough to withstand when Steph pops out of the lineup. Yeah. They don't have enough depth. Andrew Wiggins was that guy in 2022. In that postseason run, he was amazing. He was a star. He was an all-star. Mm-hmm. He's not that guy anymore. Chris Paul, he's 30. How old am I? 38. He's 39 years old, pretty much. Mm-hmm. And the idea that Chris Paul can lead that second unit when Steph's out, it's difficult at that age, right? Moody is DMPing. He's getting DMP CDs. Mm-hmm. Coach Trey, how do you resolve this? You play Steph more minutes, but is there more that Steve Kerr needs to do to get these guys going?
Coach Trey. I think at the end of the day, you rely on your star, especially in those situations. Now, if there's a clearly situation that Steph can't really bring them back, then you got to look at them and be like, all right, bro, you know. But I hope Kerr just stood up and was like, yo, this one's on me. Because at the end of the day, and that's the assistant coaches too. Like, yo, we got to get Steph in. You know what I mean? Because when you're in a game, you're relying on time management, how many minutes we play. And I watched that early on with LeBron. Remember Darvin Ham came in? We're not going to play him that much. And he's going to play on the 30. That went out the window quick. You know, LeBron did, maybe he even did the presser right. Like, yeah, I trust the staff and I'm going to do this and that. And that didn't last at all.
Yeah.
So.
Because reality hits.
So nobody wants to lose those games. And they know they can't afford those games. I think it's an interesting case, too, for the 7 through 10, because they're licking their chops at the 1 and 2. You know what I mean? Yeah. Respectively. Like, I mean, the only team that they really can't get, like, well, they can't do it at 2 now because the Nuggets are at 2. You know what I mean? Like, the Nuggets really have punched some heads in. But when you think about the Wolves and the Thunder, it's like, are these winnable in 7? And you know, the veteran teams are like, yeah, we want them. You know,
which is like, is there like gamesmanship here? By the way, this was a Draymond Rudy Gobert rematch. By the way,
classic.
Yeah,
no hard rivalries in sports.
No hard fouls. No injuries. So I'm okay with that.
Now keep in mind, there's two things here going on as well, Trey. One is the Warriors assistant coach passing away and having to like stop the season, which of course they had to do, which is what the league did by right, and it's such a tragic situation. But it also created a huge scheduled crunch at the end of the season. So I think what they're dealing with here is kind of, it's not fair. None of this is fair, but it's also something that they are trying to prepare. Like, all right, we had a few extra days off in the middle of the season to take care of ourselves and deal with this. But this is probably been Rick Celebrini, the head of performance and medicals at the Warriors. He's probably circling this stretch in the calendar, being like, if we're going to come out of this in one piece, we got to make sure that Steph is rested and make sure that he's ready. But they did not expect this Houston Rockets variable. And that is the big, big difference. Secondly, the KD thing happened. We remember in the 2019 NBA Finals, he got cleared to play, or it's kind of, you know, depending on who you talk to, whether he was cleared officially, unofficially, how he got to play on that calf strain, and then he blew out his Achilles and was out for a year and a half. That is what I think is tough to disprove. When Steph plays and doesn't get hurt afterwards, you can always point to the fact that, hey, he should have played more. But what Steve Kerr is trying to prevent is another KD situation, is that we grind this guy down, and just because he didn't get hurt last night does not prove that the decision was wrong. In some ways, it proved that the decision was right, that he did not have a cataclysmic injury, and that's what they're protecting against, because they dealt with that in 2019.
Sure. I think the difference was they were a little more comfortable. They had a little bit room to drop games. You know what I mean? Like, the Warriors right now were 4-5 in the West. I would have no problem. We wouldn't even be having this conversation.
Yep.
It would just be another game. But the idea that there are a few games from lottery is a difference. You know what I mean? You know, to be sitting at the crib with the Hornets. You know what I mean?
With Jordan Poole.
That family trip is going to be a little different.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? It's going to come a little earlier than what it is, you know?
Yeah. And, you know, we're only talking about this even because of the play-in. Mm-hmm. And then we're talking about them going to the play-in and having to beat the Lakers. And then having to go ahead and win another game just to make it to a play. Like, it is an uphill battle. I hear Steve Kerr when he says we're trying to win and trying to keep him fresh, but there's only a couple weeks left here, and that's not going to be an option in 2 weeks. And if you've already lost enough games to be out of contention or to be fighting for your life, you're going to make more desperate decisions later. It's tough.
So in 21, right, Mays, they were in the play-in against the Lakers. They lost that game. And then they lost to John Morant.
That was the first year of the play-in, right? That was the big Steph versus LeBron in the play-in, and it became an event. And it was actually a really good game.
But that was 7-8, right? This is going to be 9-10.
Yeah.
That if you lose, you're done. You're cooked. And you're not going to have home court advantage, which might be actually a blessing, according to Mays, is if they go and have to play at Crypto, maybe that's better because they can't win at home.
Maybe. Maybe that's the strategy that they've been employing all along. You never know. But
yeah,
I wonder how Adam Silver will get out of the LeBron and Steph in the 9-10. That's a tough one for the script writers to solve. You know, you can't have either of the faces of the league making the first round of the playoffs. That's a pretty tough one.
Have you guys looked at the East play-in bracket?
Not recently.
Right now, it's Chicago. It's Miami, Philly, Chicago, Atlanta. And it's possible that we're going to get Indiana, Philly, Chicago, Atlanta. Bro. Chicago, Indiana, Atlanta. I mean, whoa.
Brick City Trey.
Yeah, I don't know what I was doing there.
Yeah.
All right. That's a little depressing. That's not quite as fun of a first round matchup. On the one hand, you've got Bulls, Hawks. On the other hand, you've got Steph versus LeBron.
Yeah.
Again.
It's getting contentious in these streets. We had Chris Paul was ejected at the end of the game the other day. Tony Brothers ejected him. Trey, I don't think you've gotten caught up to speed on this one, so let's watch Chris Paul after the game.
They were looking for a technical. What happened there?
Tony. He talking to me, I talk back. I called him a TikToker. And, out of 10.
That was the last one?
No, the first one. I just said TikTok and then tech.
TikTok.
The second one I just said is too much power. You know what I mean? Gave me another 10.
TikToker meaning?
The judge, the jury, and all that.
So I'm like, what is that? What is judge, jury, executioner all about? And Trey, Chris Paul informed us straight from his Instagram account later that night, posting this clip to fill everybody in.
I don't even really care too much for basketball. I'm the judge, the jury, prosecuting attorney, defense attorney, everybody.
Right. Kind of came full circle.
This is from Florida Vipers Academy TikTok.
Some people shouldn't. I think TikTok and a lot of other things are incriminating people. They're doing these interviews loosely and they're just saying anything and not looking at the repercussions of what it actually means.
You're blaming the Florida Vipers Academy on this one.
No. Yeah. I'm blaming the ref. Is that Tony Brothers?
Tony Brothers. Yeah,
like Tony Brothers is just bugged out for that. Why would you even say that? Like, what? That's like a basketball coach saying like, yo, I don't go over film and just openly admit it. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Like, you don't care about who. Why are you doing it? Like, this is not the job where you just say, I'm doing it for a check. You know what I'm saying?
He called himself the executioner on the record in an interview.
He's trying to be Judge Dredd. Tony Brothers wants to be Judge Dredd.
Shout out to Judge Dredd.
But
man,
we talked about this on Illuminati in the past, Tom, of the refs that want to be stars. We had the Scott Foster imitating Jack Harlow walking through the lobby video posted to the ref's account where they're trying to make a name for themselves or they're trying to show off when really they're part of the machine, right? Like the reason that we need refs is because they enforce the rules and they are objective, neutral people. And obviously that's too much to ask for on a human to human basis, right? People have dynamics and relationships. Like Tony Brothers and CP3 have known each other for almost 20 years and they're not always going to get along and they're not always, you know, there's emotions that get involved in this stuff.
This is why the league does not want referees to be out here tweeting or out here doing media interviews, because it comes back to bite them when they don't realize it, that this could go viral. And then suddenly you got a clip of you saying you're an executioner out on Twitter and it gets back to the players. And then it comes up. Why did Chris Paul get thrown out? Oh, Tony Brothers calls himself the judge, jury, the defense attorney and the executioner. What are you talking about? Oh, check out TikTok. Like it all comes back. And lest we forget, Tony Brothers was, as the NBA, I think, told Mark Stein, you should check out his Steinline Substack at markstein.com, telling Mark Stein that he missed a game assignment last year for allegedly calling Spencer Dinwiddie a bitch-ass motherfucker.
Oh, yes.
In a game. And so then the rest of the year, the NBA did not assign Tony Brothers to Spencer Dinwiddie games until the postseason, and then it was crazy. So what we have here is a situation that is keeps popping up. And Chris Paul has never shied away from calling out the referees. He has that 3-17 record all time against the spread with Scott Foster officiating. I have to update that. And here we go again. So, probably not a good idea to call yourself an executioner in a media interview and say you don't like basketball. How about that?
It's a job, Tom.
Yeah.
He's, I mean, look, on Jokic.
People have plenty of jobs that they don't like, but at the end of the day, something, especially with gambling involved, you cannot admit these type of things.
Or fantasy sports games of skill. Let's jump into our underdog pick of the day. It's Monday. We got a full NBA slate tonight. Underdogfantasy.com, promo code DING, D-I-N-G, or in the Underdog Fantasy app. So let's go to this Detroit Knicks game, Trey.
Okay.
Jalen Brunson, higher or lower than 29.5 points? How you feel about that right now? Jalen Brunson's been carrying the Knicks.
I'm going to say higher than 29.
Here is last five games. We have 17 against the Nets, 26 against the Nuggets, and then 34 against the Warriors, 42 against the Kings, and 45 against the Blazers. He's cooled off a little bit, but you're saying he bounces back strong. He gets it done early too, right? Because it's the Pistons. It's going to be a blowout.
I don't even think it's going to be a blowout because that was the game I actually attended. And it was a lot of emotion involved, right? They have the ex-Knicks guys on there. But he's still high usage with guys being out. So I like the 29.5.
All right, we'll do Brunson 29.5 points higher on that. We'll stay in this game and we'll do Josh Hart, who's been putting up some big minutes lines, some big triple doubles numbers. Mm-hmm. How do you feel about Josh Hart higher or lower on 16.5 rebounds and assists? Last five games, he's been putting up 18 combined. He had a dud against the Nuggets, only four. Warriors, he had 22 combined. Kings, he had 16 combined. Blazers, he had 17 combined. So he's been rebounding a lot.
He's a big rebounding guard. He's going to get, but above, he's probably six or above. So I like this just because, you know, the matchup wise, he probably is going to play a lot of minutes and be very active and make some plays for them.
You feel better about 16.5 rebounds and assists or about 10.5 rebounds higher or lower?
I like the 10.5 rebounds being lower.
All right, let's do that. We'll go Josh Hart lower on rebounds. Now let's go to Phoenix and the Spurs. Devin Booker, 26.5 points.
Higher. I'm going to take the higher on D-Book.
Booker has 32, 30, 18, 23, 21 in his last five. He just dropped 32 on the Spurs. We'll go higher on 26.5 points for Devin Booker.
I think he'll have 28.
And that is our underdogs
combination
of the day. So go to underdogfantasy.com, promo code DINK, D-I-N-G, and you can play along with us as I am putting down Jalen Brunson higher than 29.5 points, Josh Hart lower than 10.5 rebounds, and Devin Booker higher than 26.5 points.
So if you've been reading The Finder at tomthefinder.com, my Substack where I cover the NBA and reveal things before they become mainstream, including the big offensive decline where referees are swallowing the whistle, I had that story March 1st, a few weeks ago before anybody was talking about it. And I am promoting my story. I'm going to beat my chest about that because I need to grow an audience. So thank you for reading if you're subscribing already. And I've talked about how I watch the Today Show every morning. I have it on as kind of like a background noise for when I'm making breakfast with the kids and I get up to date on the news happening around the world. And this morning, while I'm making eggs for my girls, something very affecting happened on the screen. A Today Show reporter named Sam Brock, who was reporting from Tampa about March Madness and all the tournament happenings, he had a basketball on set. And here is what happened. He had a basketball in his shot, okay? He was on a court in Tampa, and they called him out and said, hey, you need to go take a shot now that you got a ball. And this is what happened.
All of the number one and two seeds on the men's field are advancing to the Sweet 16, and it's only the fifth time that has happened since seeding began. That was almost a half a century ago. So the favorites are showing up. Right back to you.
Sam, there's been a request from the control room and the desks for you to turn around and take a shot. You're 7 feet tall. You've got a basketball in your hand.
Here's the problem. Jesse Kirsch almost hit a half-court shot on live television. Anything that I do from here with the jacket on is just going to make me look sad.
Let's go. Let's go. Let's go.
Okay.
This is going to be a disaster.
Let's go. Come on.
You know what? I got
to. You're the one who brought a basketball to a live shot and that.
I know. This was,
I think you can
this was the worst decision I ever made.
Let's go. Oh, my gosh. Oh.
I lost you guys. I feel on it right now. Just the embarrassment of what I just did.
That was terrible. Thanks, and he's so tall.
I know.
So much height.
I know. It's a disappointment. It seemed like he really had to haul it. No. He was close to half
court. I think it was like a 3-point shot.
You know what? You bring a basketball to a basketball court, you're going to have to take a shot. Yeah.
He looks like a quarterback.
He looks Tony Romo?
Yeah.
There you go. Okay, he's got the IFP.
He looks like a big Steve Young.
That's kind of racist for me.
That is. That's exactly who he looks like.
That's kind of racist for me to say he looks like Steve Young, so I'm going to leave that comment. Oh, I knew it was out.
He leaned
and just kind of chucked it, bro. Look. And look at his leg. The kick.
Oh, no.
All right.
That's a guy who's never shot a basketball before.
Yeah. He didn't even look comfortable, like, throwing it around in his hand. Like, he's just he's using this like a weird prop. Like, look at that. He's not even holding it right.
And look at the thing. Look, listen. Oh, you're shooting outside, so you're not even playing the, like, the wind. You're not, like, kind of, you know, he didn't get a couple, like.
No, he's ice cold.
He said right here, it's going to be a disaster. Worst decision I've ever made. Mm-hmm.
Okay. So he got bullied in the shooting.
Yes.
It goes over the backboard and bounces off the stanchion, I think. Is that, mm-hmm. am I seeing this right? I think it goes over the backboard.
It hits the backboard, yes.
Oh, Lord. Yeah. Yes,
it had no shot, clearly.
All right, Trey, knowing this vantage point and knowing the geometry of the court, how far away is this shot? Do you think this is like, beyond the 3-point line, like kind of half
it's
court.
It's the 3-point line.
It's a three-point shot.
It's a 3-point shot. But he's tried to be cool. He hasn't set up. He didn't like get the angle of like, you'll get my full body. He's still trying to remain in the frame. Yeah, he doesn't really want to do it. He's literally shooting like, let me just chuck this. But he's also bullied into it. It doesn't feel like he's comfortable. And I think maybe that's where the journalists need to push back and say, hey.
But he is 7 feet tall, apparently.
But yeah, also, Craig Melvin was saying he was 7 feet tall. Yeah.
But also, being 7 feet tall, when has he ever been put in situations for him to shoot that?
As a big man.
And he's probably older than Jokic. So he's definitely played inside out. You know what I mean?
Let me give you some facts here, because jokes are better than facts, but sometimes you do need facts, okay?
Okay.
He brought the ball to the chute, right? That's a mistake, because Savannah Guthrie... Savannah Guthrie rightfully pointed out here, the host of the Today Show, Savannah Guthrie, said, if you bring a ball to the set, you got to shoot. I'm sorry. You got to shoot. Mm. You can't bring a basketball to the set, not be expected to show off your basketball skills. So he made the decision to do that interview with a basketball in hand. And Mays, they brought him back. They brought him back to the show for round two, Trey. This next segment, he came back on, and one key difference, no jacket this time. Trey, how does he do on his redemption shot?
Let's see.
Sam, we want to give you one more chance.
Sam, you got this. That's so generous of you. By the way, the number of text messages I received saying you are pathetic just now is like too many to count. But let's give this a shot. Yeah, just so you know, this is like Steph Curry level.
Go. You got this.
Oh! I think that went in. Did you see it go through the hoop?
I think I saw that too.
Sam.
His head's already down. He's not even confident. Yeah. He's just kind of like, look, man, dribble. Anybody that dribbles, that looks down, he's not a basketball player. No. He just happens to be a tall man.
Yeah.
Right?
He's like my dad.
Right? He's actually, he stepped in, he tried it. No follow through. Bad. It was bad. Go back.
It wasn't bad. All right. Look at this. Pause on it. It's terrible.
The release is there.
He had a follow through.
He flicked it as if he was Iverson.
That's good form, Trey.
Hold on.
Tom, we can't allow anybody that doesn't shoot like Amin to be called good form.
Yeah.
Oh, come on.
Just because recontextualized what a jump shot is supposed to look like.
So the thing is, and what I see, so it does, right? So like when he did that,
didn't
right?
Hit the rim.
He didn't hit the rim, first of all, right? But he looks like he's been just practicing air jumpers. Like, all right, I seen the black guy go viral. I don't know his name. Amen. Probably called him Amen. And he's like, okay, I got to get my form right. I don't even care about making it. So he's just worried about his form and actually looking like he knows how to play. But missing the whole rim is just as bad as a means attempt, right?
Oh, okay. Well, here's,
looks like
here's
a poser
little
here. Yes.
No, man. That's a good looking form. No, I'm sorry.
He's stepping forward. And then he's drifting to his right.
Yeah, he wasn't even set.
He's not balanced. He's not.
You're giving too much grace. All right, give me the facts, man. Give me the facts. Because I don't
know. All right, Sam Brock is 6'5". Okay, so he's 6'5". He's not 7 feet tall. All right.
Okay.
He had an earpiece. And if you're doing these shoots, the earpiece is attached to your jacket, right? Yep. The collar of your jacket. And it's in your ear. All right. Yep. So when he's saying, hey man, I got this jacket on. Like, not only is it about a flexibility standpoint, but also you're attached. And so if you shoot, if you're like, boom,
to be fair,
it's
going to
pull something out of you.
It's hard to shoot in a suit coat. I'll give him that.
All right. So he removes the suit coat and he still, it doesn't go where he wants it to go.
It doesn't.
All right. I want to ask you, Trey, would you advise him to try to redeem himself? Because the upside is, okay, maybe you make it. But 90% of those shots are going to be either bad out or embarrassingly bad. So I don't think you go back out there.
What I really do is stop setting me up for failure in that camera angle.
That right? too.
Secondly, let me just focus on a shot versus trying to talk if I actually need to shoot. Where y'all get
an angle. Don't have him turn around from talking to take the shot like, take out like different
he's
camera
He's not
Caitlin
Clark in a State Farm commercial, bro. He's, you know what I mean? Like, this guy probably don't even hoop no more. He probably played at his respective D2 university as a big, ate with his hands for a living. You know what I'm saying?
I'm told he played high school ball for a little bit. He played sports and people seeing how tall, Maze, does this happen a lot? People seeing how tall you are, did you play basketball? Do you play basketball?
Of course. He's 6'5". He's tall enough. But also, if he's 6'5 and not 7 feet tall, then he should be able to take a jump shot like a normal person. Sorry.
Yeah.
Sorry.
You know what we got to do? We got to refer
to territory. It comes with the territory. If you are 6'5 and taller, so I'm going to say 6'4 because 6'4 gives you that like. You still
you'd be a high school center at 6'4
because Barkley is the line, right? 6'4 and above, you got to be ready for those basketball questions. The stereotype, you got to beat the stereotype allegations. You just got to be ready. No, you probably didn't play basketball, but you know, I don't know how to fix cars, but you got to be able to fit. You got to be able to make a jumper, bro.
Trey, as soon as Tom said that he brought the ball himself,
yeah.
It's his fault, man. You got to fall on the sword. If you bring the ball, you got to be prepared to shoot it.
Yeah, you know what? We need to get to the bottom of this. I feel like, hey, Sam, if you're watching this,
yes,
I've taken upon myself and Count the Dings to refer you to the law offices of Amin El Hassan to call fight back. Call Amin. If you want to get clean and figure out how to have that redemptive arc in media for viral decontextualization, I suggest you take this matter very seriously and hand it over to the law offices of Amin El Hassan, who's done this for himself in many occasions when he needs viral decontextualization to be solved. So, www.downhorrendous.com or you can just, we'll set you up.
Or just go to packyourknives.com or the Count the Dings merch store. One of those links. Yeah, it'll be fine.
So Sam, if you're watching, there's help and we can get it to you at the law offices of Amin El Hassan. All right, now we're going to talk a little March Madness. Golki is his name from Oakland. Who? Yep.
Mr. 10-3.
Killed the Kentucky Wildcats.
Future Miami Heat.
Max Strus 2.0. He's a viral sensation, but very short-lived March Madness. We're going to talk about how we are watching March Madness at our ripe old ages that we are and how our relationship with college basketball has changed. So for the Patreon, patreon.com/countthedicks.